We are here to engage in a wonderful self-healing experience. Prepare yourself for a profound communion between your body,
yes,
your psyche,
yes,
and your soul.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, if I was any good, Sean, I would have asked you to play our Friday 2:30 music right now.
Oh, is that? Why would you want to do that?
Because we have a dead mouse in the studio right this second.
OMG.
I know it.
I could pull some up.
Second one this week.
You're kidding me, right?
No, right by Michael, who's streaming us on Facebook Live right now. We are streaming on Facebook Live. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio.
Oh, it's a little baby.
It's the cutest little mouse, Ursula.
Yeah, this is just too much.
And the mousetrap came down right on his neck.
Okay, enough. Stop. What is the deal?
What? Where else does it come down?
I'm being a hypocrite, too, because I have been complaining about these mice. It's like, hello? What does it take to get them out of this building?
Didn't you text me a picture a couple nights ago?
How about I texted a picture of you?
What I
getting all eager about putting the cheese and peanut butter in the trap.
Right. But was it you or was it Nicole?
No, that was
the mouse broke into your desk drawer.
Oh, both of us.
Oh, yeah.
And I texted you the picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She had actual mouse poop
in her drawers. I think it still is. I don't know who's cleaned it.
Okay, so
a mouse kind of got into my little 3010 stash in my drawers.
So we should. I know. And that I've noticed that the mice were really thin. That explains that. Yeah. They've been eating the 3010 material around here. No, so right now we do have a dead mouse in the studio as we speak.
And what does it have to do with Friday?
Because this is the music we play at 2:30 on Fridays. And Sean, what's the name of the band here? Or the performer, the artist?
The artist's name is Dead Mouse.
No. Yeah.
It's too perfect, Ursula.
Name me another.
If you have to explain all that, I don't know how perfect it is.
Well, you're the one who asked. It was perfect until you ruined it all.
Everybody else knows that, Ursula.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
What? Seriously, what other talk show in the country would be able to bring to have all the cosmic tumblers fall into place like we have done in the first 2 minutes of this hour?
No other one. I should have just gone with it.
Yeah. So, second one in a week. Dead mouse in the studio. You can keep this playing, Sean, because otherwise I'm going to get so worked up and this music kind of... How long is the music track here?
This is almost 10 minutes long.
That should be enough. Because I need something to kind of temper my anger at fake news. Because as you know, our show is the purveyor of real news, as filtered through my worldview. But the Washington Post, which claims to be real news. Yesterday, we had the story about the fake news New York Times, which in January ran a story that said wildfire scientists were warning that because of all the dead trees in the California forests, that it was setting up for a perfect inferno. And that they said, we got to do something about this. In January, New York Times story. In November, after the worst wildfires in our nation's history, Donald Trump sent out a tweet that said, California should have managed their forests better, which is exactly what the New York Times wrote before the wildfire. But when the New York Times wrote the Donald Trump tweet up, they said that Trump was way off in saying that it was fire management or the Forest Service fault. 10 months after they said the Forest Service has to do a better job. And so the New York Times, clearly fake news. Okay, this one today, this fake news is particularly infuriating. So, Brett Kavanaugh, who is our newest Supreme Court justice, and who went through that whole witch hunt through his confirmation process, it was particularly infuriating because here's a man who, by all accounts, is a wonderful father of two teenage girls. Well, Brett Kavanaugh is back coaching, even though he's on the bench of the Supreme Court. He's back coaching his youngest daughter's basketball team. And he has said that that's one of the great joys in his life. Over the weekend, they made the finals of a Thanksgiving tournament. The Washington Post ran a story about that. Under the category public safety, they had the audacity at WAPO to say that because this dad who was exonerated, who was, you know, the subject of this witch hunt, whose accuser's stories were debunked, and they have the audacity to say that this dad, who's an active participant in his daughter and her friend's lives as their youth basketball coach, that that story falls under the headline public safety. I mean, these are, I won't use the words that I'm thinking about how despicable these editors are. Calling a dad coaching his daughters a public safety issue. And then the Washington Post has now apologized for that. They said it was just a mistake, that it just defaulted under the public safety headline, which nobody believes. But what I love about this story is that, once again, it illustrates just how unfathomably biased. You know, the New York Times story yesterday, we proved that. The Washington Post story today proves that. How unfathomably biased these publications are. The other thing I love is that I'm really glad that somebody who looks like he's going to adhere to true constitutional principles is a Supreme Court justice. But, and this is not the best me, but there's a part of me that is almost as glad that Kavanaugh is so inside the heads of these despicable people who dare label a dad coaching his kids' basketball team as a public safety issue. I'm glad that he's living inside their heads to that extent, and that they have allowed themselves to let their lives be so consumed by their hatred of what, by all appearances, looks to be a really good man. So you disagree with him socially and on some of those legal issues. But the stuff that portrayed him as a monster was so debunked. And the Washington Post is despicable, and life goes on. So should I get into this other thing before I...
I don't know. He's really upset.
I don't like it when my friends are upset at me.
And I don't think you're going to be able to resolve it anytime soon. I'm trying to diffuse it right now via text.
Oh, my goodness. So if you were listening last hour, I had on Todd Myers from the Washington Policy Center, who explained why the plastic bag ban in Washington is worse for the environment than allowing plastic bags. And he talked about, you know, the fertilizer that it takes to produce enough cotton to make those reusable cotton bags and all of that. And I pointed out in a tweet last night, you should follow me on Twitter. If you don't, let's make a big push. How many followers do I have? Let me see.
Oh, geez.
I got about 6,000 for my personal, and I think we got about 10,000 for the show. Anyway, follow me at Dori Monson, DoriMonson. But I pointed out on Twitter last night that 95% of the plastic in our oceans comes from 10 rivers in the world. 8 in Asia, 2 in Africa. That the United States contributes a tiny percentage of whatever plastic is in the ocean, and Washington State is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of that. And so, you know, from a statistical standpoint, our state is a non-factor in what's going on in the oceans. So 19 minutes ago, I get a tweet from my friend Duff McKagan with Guns N' Roses. who tweeted about my world rivers are the biggest problem. Duff on Twitter said,
by the way, he has 1.17 million
followers. Oh, yeah. I know. So there are a lot of people. So now I'm going to have all of the Guns N' Roses fans worldwide.
They're all going to be really upset
coming
with
after
you.
Me now. They should all follow me on Twitter. But so Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, 19 minutes ago, about the fact that I put out on Twitter, I disagree, Dory. I studied this exact topic at Seattle U for a semester. I know the aspirin effect you are talking about, and I get it, but lessening plastic anywhere is a good thing. Also, not sure where you got your stat. So that was it. You know, friendly. And like I said, Duff and I are friends, and we chat every once in a while. So we thought, well, if Duff's upset with me, let's get him on the show. So Nicole just texted him. And
yes, so I texted him that we saw your tweet. We were wondering if you could come on and chat with us about it. He said, I'm in Africa! ! But I did a study.
So is Guns N' Roses touring in Africa right now? Is he on tour?
He didn't specify why he was in Africa.
Okay.
But, he said, but I did a study on this topic and I loved it. Dory should chill on this. And then ... or study primary sources of ocean waste and recycling and landfill. And I said, I will definitely let him know. Mm-hmm. I know he'd love to chat whenever you're available. Will you be back soon? He said, what biodegrades and what doesn't, etc. He went the wrong direction with that tweet. He's a great guy and I love his takes mostly, but here it's not healthy for our children and theirs. Seriously. And then I sent him your study. But I think that he wants to have a discussion about this.
I want to have a discussion about it.
And I think it's I don't think we ever, say that that's not a valid concern. And obviously we're all worried about children. And
yeah, I love the kids.
And that there's just always two sides. And it's a form. It's the communication from government to us
that
we disagree with.
What time is it in Africa right now? It's got to be
I'm not sure where in Africa he is.
It's got to be the middle of the night there. What's Duff doing up if he's in Africa? So anyway, and I'm sure Duff didn't hear the interview just had.
It's midnight. Well, 20 after 12.
That's not bad. I'm sure he didn't hear the interview that I just had that says that it's worse for the environment to try to make these reusable cloth bags that are all the mania.
Maybe that's one aspect of it. Maybe there's another.
Well, when he's back from Africa.
We'll have a discussion.
When he's back from Africa, we'll get him on. We'll chat about this.
Just to be clear, we've tried to have a couple other people on today to talk about it from his side.
Yeah. So. No, we've reached out to a state senator who's very passionate about
it. Also a representative.
He was on an airplane.
Representative was working. I don't know. Couldn't do it either.
Okay.
So we're working on it.
I just don't. I don't want my friends to be upset with me.
I don't want your friends. This backlash on Twitter.
Oh, well, that's fine. I want every single Guns N' Roses Twitter follower to be checking out our tweets. I think that would be great. Okay. So anyway, Duff's kind of ticked off at me about that.
We're working on it.
The beat goes on. Okay, which one of these stories should I do? I got so many good news stories. I just kind of want this as background music. This would get annoying if we did it for all 3 hours every day, right?
Under the big lead? Also under the fastest 15 or something?
Well, I'm thinking the entire 3-hour show.
Oh, just the entire show?
Yeah.
Yes, that would get annoying.
That's a great song. It might burn us both out on it.
I know.
I'm kind of
sick of it already. I'm kind of dreading 2:30 tomorrow already. Okay, let's get... All right, without any further ado, and with all that as mere prelude, let me get right to the big lead this hour.
The big lead. Top story.
Down at Evergreen State University, or college, whatever they call it down there in Olympia, I have told you, when people ask me, Dory, you always say we should pay less in taxes, the state should cut the budget... But where would you cut? And I've said for years and years and years, the first thing I would do when people are smart enough to make me czar is Evergreen State would no longer be a public college or university. But $200 million tax dollars every budget cycle go to Evergreen State, the most radical, liberal college in the United States of America, as judged by U.S. News and World Report a few years ago. There is no way that the taxpayers of this state would be mandated to fund the most conservative university in the country. But the most liberal, and Evergreen State has become such a joke that president of the college, Bridges, is one of the weakest leaders I have ever seen in the history of academia, as students took him and fellow administrators hostage last year, screamed obscenities in their face, wouldn't let them go to the bathroom. They were taken hostage by students, by a bunch of radical leftist students. And we got to subsidize that as taxpayers? Well, Evergreen State, they earlier this month, and this was just reported by the student newspaper. I didn't know about this when it happened. That Evergreen State had a protest organized by some communists down in the South Sound area. And they had two demands that they tried to personally deliver to school president George Bridges. The first was that the school refrain from hiring two police officers that are in the budget. And the second was that the cop money that's been budgeted be used to hire two full-time professors. But hiring two additional cops there has been a priority because after all of these riots and protests by these punk students down there, there's routine violence at Evergreen State. So they had a rally where a group marched through Red Square chanting, "Profs, not cops." A first-year student said, "The question of police presence on campus is not just a question of budget priorities. It's a question of power. Who runs the school and for what purpose?" Well, you got to maintain some law and order when you have a bunch of wild-eyed radicals who have been further radicalized by the insanity of the university there. They made it to President Bridges' office. They weren't able to get in, so they presented their demands that the school not hire the cops that they have open positions for. And we'll see. We'll see if the school president, if the weakest college president in America, George Bridges, as they said at Hot Air, we'll see if he caves in to these demands the way he did last year, caving in to a bunch of radical students. But is that a good expenditure of your and my tax money? That we are spending a couple hundred million tax dollars a year in our state to allow a bunch of radical losers to run a college campus? That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Going to check the news for you and then count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. Oh, man. Nicole told me that I better text Duff after the show because I guess he's really ticked off at me.
Who?
Duff McKagan.
Oh, no. Why is he mad?
We were talking about last half hour. He's on Twitter. He saw my tweet about the plastic bag ban. And he and he's
not so happy with you.
Me. So we tried to get him on.
Good for you, Duff.
He's in Africa right now.
He's texting you from. Oh, he's tweeting you from Africa.
Yeah, but Nicole just
he's keeping
texted
track
him.
Of you.
Nicole texted him and said, "Pop on." He goes, "I can't. I'm in Africa."
What's he doing there?
I think Guns N' Roses is touring there. Okay. I think. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
Look but at you, though.
I know everybody's upset at
You're
me.
You're getting
though.
The shout out from Duff McKagan.
But everyone's upset at me. I'm tired of people being upset at me. I wonder what it would be like to be universally beloved.
Oh, I wouldn't know either.
Oh,
on
man.
Occasion, I get them too.
Yeah, it's just, it's nonstop.
Not, and it's not everybody upset with you, but, yeah. But people who have strong beliefs that go against and actually believe that report.
I could just go along with the crowd. I could be one of those people who just says things.
But that wouldn't
that
be
everyone
you.
Everyone wants to hear.
That wouldn't be you.
I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't
no, but what's
it.
Great is that Duff, I'm sure, would be willing to go on the air with you.
Oh no, he was very
gonna, yeah.
He was very cool. As soon as he gets back into the country, back to the continent. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. At number here's somebody who just can say stuff and know that everybody will go crazy because she says the things that the left wants to hear. Joy Behar on The View today. She was talking about Donald Trump and Michael Cohen. And here's the kind of line that just gets wild applause on The View.
Number three.
There's so many leaks.
Or release it.
It'll leak. Today's
It'll
a good
leak.
Day. Today is a good day for Donald Trump to resign. I really believe that.
That's
like, do it for me, okay?
Well, really, to just know you're going to say somebody's name and everybody's going to scream and applaud and laugh hysterically, that is just that's the easiest type of comedy in the world there to amuse that audience, those dim bulbs. Okay, at number two, last week, Donald Trump said that when he was a young man, he looked like Elvis. So this was pretty talented. Jimmy Fallon, whose show I don't love, but I respect his talent. And the fact that he can do musical impressions like this, I thought that this was pretty good.
Number two.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. It's great being here in Memphis. And I got to tell you, a lot of people have been saying I look like Elvis. It's true. They say I look like Elvis. So I'd like to do a tribute to the great man himself, the king. Hit it, boys. The warden threw a party in the county jail. Everyone in my administration started to wail. Indictments headed down to the whole West Wing. You should have heard my lawyer, Michael Cohen, sing, "Let's rock." Everybody, let's rock.
I have to get it to him. Fallon is a talented performer right there. And at number one, I shared this with you a couple of hours ago. This was my sad moment of the day. 3 a.m., I see a TV commercial that comes on. When I was a kid, Joe Namath, when I was 7, 8 years old, he was Broadway Joe. He was the playboy. He had the most beautiful women in the world. He had Farrah Fawcett putting shaving cream on his face in this commercial that was really daring back in its day.
I'm so excited. I'm going to get creamed.
Yeah, yeah.
Let Maxima cream your face.
Farrah Fawcett's putting shaving cream on him. He was wearing pantyhose in certain commercials.
Now, I don't wear pantyhose, but a beauty mist can make my legs look good. Imagine what they'll do for yours.
Oh, Joe Namath was the man. So I got so depressed at 3 a.m. when I saw this Joe Namath commercial this morning.
Number one.
Hi, I'm Joe Namath. I called the Medicare coverage helpline, and they instantly advised me that I wasn't getting all the benefits I deserved. They explained I could get a plan that includes dental
say
and prescription coverage,
so, Joe.
As well as new
say
coverage for private
so.
Home aids and rides to medical appointments.
Oh, those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's science coming up next. And down the stretch we come. All right, before we head out into the Thursday afternoon, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Science. That the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Virginia, where a 71-year-old woman is listed in stable condition after having been freed from the trash compactor that she had been stuck in. It was outside of her apartment building. The woman was stuck in this trash compactor for about 2 hours. She went out there at 9:30 in the evening. She dropped her keys into the compactor, and then she stepped inside to get the keys back. Fortunately, a friend of hers saw the incident, pressed the emergency stop button because the compactor was going as soon as the woman stepped in. You pull down the door, you pull the bag in or whatever you're putting in there, and that just triggers the trash compactor to start compacting. And so the neighbor who freed her, pushed the stop button, said that this sure could have been a whole lot worse.
You pull down a door, you put the bag in or whatever you're putting in there, and you close it. And then when it falls in, that triggers the trash compactor to compact whatever's in there. And so I don't know how it got triggered. Luckily, somebody was there to hit the emergency stop for her. I hope she's okay.
Yeah, and she is in stable condition. But can you imagine 2 hours stuck in a trash compactor? Today's science story number two, another example in how progressives do nothing, but they can still make themselves feel like they're doing something. If you want to buy a Porsche 911, the company is, and by the way, beautiful car. You can go 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. It hits 190 miles an hour, but Porsche says for its progressive customers, they want to have an environmental conscience. And so they are going to tell prospective buyers of the 911 how much their driving is harming the planet, and then Porsche will allow them to pay to offset the damage that the car is doing to Earth by planting trees. Now, this car costs over $100,000. They say that the planet-saving feature is just a way to reach out to people who might otherwise have guilt about buying a car that gets such low gas mileage. And so every car is going to come equipped with a web-based emissions estimator, and that measures the effect on the environment. But I'm serious. What a bunch of morons who would buy into something like this. The car will estimate how much CO2 you're emitting while driving. It then calculates how much you should pay to neutralize your individual carbon footprint. The manufacturer says that it could be a significant amount of money if every driver decides to contribute money to plant trees. And they say that it'll only cost you about $75 for every 10,000 miles of driving to plant enough trees to offset your Porsche driving. I'm serious. Is there an easier mark in the world of scams and grifting than people who feel like they're environmentalists, who believe that they're actually helping the planet by buying a Porsche and then planting a tree? But man, I'm telling you, you want to go in. Al Gore's almost a billionaire, or might be a billionaire, mostly off his whole climate scam. But there are companies like Solyndra that built American taxpayers out of billions of dollars. You know, Inslee was pushing for the initiative that was going to bilk the people of this state. It's amazing that the voters here in Washington said no to being the targets of that scam. But it is one of the easiest ways, and this is why I'm so skeptical about the exaggerations, the wild exaggerations about man's impact on climate, because it is a multi-trillion dollar wealth transfer that all of these con artists see. And there are few people who are easier marks than guilt-ridden liberals. So anyway, that's Porsche's new approach to get people to kick in to buy one of their 911s. Okay, and today's signed story number three, as you know, I have a very goofy name. I have a girl's name, Dory, with an I. How stupid is that? But look, I had to deal with that because that's the name my parents or my mom gave me. Well, at airport in Orange County, John Wayne Airport, a mom is outraged because she says she heard a gate agent making fun of her five-year-old daughter's name. The five-year-old daughter, her name is Absdi. Absdi, spelled A-B-C-D-E. Absdi. And the mom is furious that the gate agents made fun of that.
The gate agents started mocking my child's name, laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, and talking to other employees. So I turned around and just said, like, hey, I can hear you. So if I can hear you, my daughter can too. Like, I'd appreciate if you just stop.
If you don't want people to make fun of your kid's name, don't name your kid A-B-C-D-E, Absdi. It's just, and then you complain about it. Then you complain that people see your daughter's ridiculous name and comment on how ridiculous it is. That makes the mom ridiculous. The gate agent should all have to plant a tree to save the earth because they caused some harm to that little girl.
Dog John,
say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Say my name, say my name.
What if she had any other kids? F-G, H-I-J? Maybe that was her second kid. K-L-M-N-O? That'd be kind of a cool name. K-L-M-N-O. K-L-M-N-O. Hey, K-L-M-N-O. You're in the game. Go.
Every other word is a huh. Yeah, okay. Could it be that you are at the grave with an A?
Absdi. But look, as I said, my name's Dory. I don't have any grounds to make fun of anybody's name. All that is today's sign, the end is near. I gotta get out of here. Because Dory has said everything that he could possibly say today. But I will go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Friday extravaganza. Pete Carroll, Seahawks coach, is gonna join me for a full half hour tomorrow from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. So tune in for that. We'll preview that Seahawks 49er game that we will bring you on Sunday here on your home of the Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. So Pete Carroll on the big show with me tomorrow afternoon. Always enjoy my weekly visit with the coach. Plus, Pete is a normal name. I like that. That's a bonus. I am out of here. Ron and Don show is coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Hi, Noob.
It's hard to believe that you are at home by yourself when I just heard the voice or the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you got a lie and caught up in your game when you cannot say my name?
Are you finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.